Padded up to here, listening to a small segment of people trying to put down America. America's the greatest land on earth, and we ought to be proud of what we have. I'm proud of America. I'm proud of our people, and I'm going to prove it. We're American and proud of it.
Frankly, I'm getting a little ticked off.
Go to hell.
Welcome back, Lowe's. Thank you for tuning in or streaming or downloading Blooming Out on WFHB 91.3 FM in Bloomington, Indiana. I'm Melanie Davis.
I'm Cal Demery.
And I'm Nikki Seven.
Yay! Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. I want to say that it is such an honor to be here. I love this show. I listen to it on the reg. I love it because, Cal, I'm meeting for the first time, but, you know, I feel like insta-friend.
Yeah.
Melanie, I've known you for a number of years, and I like you and I respect you. And then when I listen to the show, I feel like I always learn something. And learning is one of those things that I value. So thank you so much for the service that you provide. It's an honor to be here on the show. This is my first time on Blooming Out, and I'm just absolutely thrilled.
Well, we shall have to have you on more.
Now that I said that, I've secured myself a spot for future visits.
Right? Wait, hold on. If I remember right, did you invite me on to do pitch stuff?
You bet I have.
Yeah. And I was not able to come.
Yeah.
And I never fully actually apologized for canceling on you.
No worries. We'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll do it. There'll be plenty of fun drives.
There's one coming up.
I know.
But you know what, folks? And I'll throw in a little thing while we're waiting for our other guest, whose name is Chris, and he'll be coming in soon, shortly. He just messaged and said, I'm on my way. he didn't use that voice in the text. But you don't have to wait for the fun drive. You can actually go to WFHB.org and smash that big red donate button and tell them that Blooming Out sent you. Please.
That's right.
Please tell them. Please.
Yeah.
Yep. Or Nikki Seven.
Why put off till tomorrow what you could do today?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Or you could do it tomorrow when you get paid.
And that's cool too.
Yeah.
It is Friday. So, Friday is payday.
Yeah. That's when I hold up banks. So, wait. No, that's some foreshadowing for later in the show.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Banks.
Oh.
Eh?
Oh.
Sorry.
Wah. not the joke. Just
was it a bad taste in your mouth? I've got gum around here.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like that.
Yeah. So, we're really happy to have you here. I was so excited when we were at the event and I got to be around you normally. Cause I just get to hear you on the radio.
I know. Same. Yeah. I listen to the show just about every week. And so, but actually seeing you in person, whole different situation doesn't happen all that often, strangely enough, living in the same town.
All right.
And volunteering here for WFHB, but
I usually see people at Kroger. So which Kroger do you shop at? And I'll just start hanging out there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I do enjoy some Southside Krogering.
Oh, okay.
I do. Yeah.
I haven't been.
But
there
I probably hit them all.
Well, I'm usually at Kroger. So yeah.
Okay. What? No, I'm just gonna steal it.
Yeah, please do.
Well, I'm gonna share mine then. And I did not originate this, and I don't know who did, but at some point someone referred to Kroger as Krogatory.
Oh my gosh.
I love that.
And that, and for me that really resonated, you know. And so for me they're all Krogatory.
Yeah.
So
sorry, I have a thing in my throat and I'm not sure what it is. As a frog, it's a upsetness. It's an anticipation of what's coming. I'm going to be foreshadowing throughout this because, OMG, there was an event that happened
on Monday,
which is April Fool's, and we got to meet them.
We got to meet the fools. Well, I didn't. Y'all got to. I have to, unfortunately.
You vicariously did.
I met them over email.
Right. Oh.
I'll explain what I did. So.
Funsies.
Oh, look at yeah. you.
I just did some good old Gen Z type good trouble. So.
Excellent.
Just.
Gen yeah. Z uses email?
Yes.
My Gen Z doesn't use email.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing what Gen Z trouble via email is. Yeah. I have no idea.
It might give us like more fodder and stuff. What can we, like, no, okay, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like Cal wants to hold on to it a little longer.
Yeah. No, I'm just excited.
On their seats.
I'm just excited.
Right. Their seats. Right. Keep people tuned in.
Yes, exactly.
I like it. It's a strategy. It's good.
We've got plenty of stuff to keep people tuned in, though, today. We've got Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that. We've got Donald Trump. I wish there was more good news, because we had good news for the past couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Easter, let's talk about Easter. That's good, right?
Sure. I don't really celebrate anymore, so...
You don't celebrate the day after Easter price off chocolate?
That I do. Yeah, definitely. Okay.
Did you have a good Sunday?
No. I just realized I was going to do like a product placement. And it's like, nope, we're not talking about that. Anyway, I'll just say there's a certain chocolate egg with a crunchy shell that I can't get enough of.
Okay.
I call them little sin eggs.
Aren't they all?
Yes.
Aren't they all? No. So Easter Sunday was a couple of things.
Yes.
And Joe Biden got himself into trouble because he simply did what the person who was giving him trouble had done and what has been done since 2009 when it was begun,
mm-hmm.
which is observe Transgender Day of Visibility.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
So if you don't know, those Easter and Trans Visibility Day fell on the same day this year. So if you don't know, Easter changes every year. It has to do with the moon. It's this whole thing. But
very pagan.
Yes. But they fell on the same day. So what Biden did was, being a Catholic, he sent out like Happy Easter to everybody. And then he followed up that post with a Happy Trans Visibility and just did like a short little thing. I saw it on Instagram.
Yeah.
Just saying, you know, we need to protect our trans American, like trans neighbors and everything. And
oh, I bet that made some people so mad.
Yeah. You would have thought he, you know, did something terrible.
He declared that Easter was Trans Day of Visibility.
Something ironically funny is that Caitlyn Jenner, of all people, posted about it and said, "How dare Biden declare it Trans Visibility Day on Easter?" When the year previous, she had posted, "Happy Trans Visibility Day to all my sisters."
Well, so what's I don't get it. What's the big disconnect for this person?
Caitlyn?
Caitlyn yeah. Jenner. Money?
She's trans.
Right.
And she's a very hyper Republican.
Oh.
And those two things don't mix well.
Hmm.
Because people just hate your existence.
It's also this cognitive dissonance where she's like, yes, I'm a woman, but
right.
other trans women aren't actually women.
Got it.
So,
oh boy.
Yeah.
That makes for,
as long as you're in with the in crowd. You know?
Yeah, apparently.
So,
oh, that's a tough existence right there.
Everybody was blowing up about it, and it became a thing. And then, of course, because this is his new 2024 strategy to get reelected, our former president Trump had some things to say about it. And let's see if I can get the audio up and happy with me. All right, let's try this, because there's some audio to go along with this. And a little bit more later.
Maybe.
Yep.
Dead air.
What the hell was Biden thinking when he declared Easter Sunday to be Trans Visibility Day? Such total disrespect to Christians. And November 5th is going to be called something else. You know what it's going to be called? Christian Visibility Day. When Christians turn out in numbers, that nobody has ever seen before. Let's call it Christian Visibility Day.
Wow. I think the kids call it cringe. Does that count as cringe?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. And then everybody picked that up and they were running with it. So one of the things is the Don, the Donald, the Trumpiest of all, didn't always hold these values.
No, he didn't.
So he famously he's the Miss Universe
yes.
owner and operator. And apart from enjoying going backstage and being with all the teenagers and young women who are there in various states of undress, and this is according to him, he's quite all right with the first, I think it was 2012 or something.
Yes, summer 2012.
The first transgender participant who is from Canada.
Canada, yeah. Yes.
I say it the French way. And I mean, we have audio from that too, because it's the internet, folks, and audio lives forever.
This is a young woman who, according to the laws of Canada and according to the laws of the United States, is allowed to enter the pageant system. What I did is I said, we have 58 contestants in Canada. I said, let her run. And maybe she'll win. And if she wins, she'll go to Miss Universe. And I think I made the right decision. I feel fine with the decision.
She gave a great answer, a very tough question, but you're transgender. Just the question everybody wants to hear.
Right.
And she gave a great answer, and she really did a great job. Actually, her answer was a very intelligent answer, and that's one of the reasons I assume the judges picked her.
Okay, so there was that. And also, you know, way back when they had bathroom bills,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if you've heard of those, where they don't want to allow trans women, aka men, to come into the bathrooms because they might splatter on the floor, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure what they're... Oh, wait, it's because they'll be predators. Because that's mm-hmm. how these people think. Everybody thinks. And what they will do. So we'll see what she says about the person that you just mentioned, by the mm-hmm. way, and bathrooms.
You leave it the way it is. There have been very few complaints the way it is. People go, they use the bathroom that they feel is appropriate. There has been so little trouble.
So if Caitlyn Jenner were to walk into Trump Tower and want to use the bathroom, you would be fine with her using any bathroom she chooses.
That is correct.
What? What is that about? I mean, like, seriously? He's okay with that? No. How does he square this? How does he square his former views on trans people with now this current, you know, oh, you can't declare... Nobody declared Easter Trans Day of Visibility. Easter fell on the Trans Day of Visibility and didn't even apologize. So I'm joking for all of you Christians out there. My Easter doesn't actually come until this Sunday. So we use the old calendar because, you know, why buy a new one when the old one still works?
But yeah, it just basically, it shows that either he has switched his views, but more likely, he is pandering to his base for power.
Oh.
Because remember, Trump used to be a Democrat, and he only ran Republican in 2016 because he thought it would get him more popularity. And, like, that is a quote from him. So he is just pandering to this Republican evangelical audience.
What something that I'd like to share with you, you know, we saw the Trump Bible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when this came out, and with Easter and the sale of that, my husband said, well, you know, he grabs him by the cross.
Yep. Yep.
Mm. I mean, I think that says a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's just about money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What was that about? Camels, needles, eyes of needles, and getting into heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of getting into heaven, we are joined by somebody who has escaped. It's amazing your wings fit in the room. Chris is joining us now. Nice Chris, intro. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Chris. I am a senior here at Indiana University. I finished next semester in the wintertime, so I'm almost done. I am a community leader, an activist. I've been an activist since I was 17 years old, and I'm about to turn 23 this year. I've worked with Bloomington. I've worked for the United States government. I was working for a Congress member. I won't give specific details because I don't want anybody to, unfortunately, within this world, doxing is a huge issue.
Doxings are really small, though. Doxing. Oh, sorry.
Yes. I was working for the United States government. I was working for a member of Congress. I was living in D.C. earlier last year. So I had a really lot of great experiences, and I kind of like the conversation. I'm happy you guys have me today.
Yay. Thank you for coming in, and thank you for agreeing to be on.
And thank you for having me.
Sorry for strong-arming you on the... You need to come in.
Yeah, you definitely need to have the strong-arm me.
So, this nonsense, it will tie in. There's a reason why we picked it up, because it does tie into what's going on, what went on Monday, right? Mm-hmm. And it was, it's topical. And I would like to say that, oh, my God, the prices of candy have gone up so freaking far this year. It was like regular price day after Easter. And I was just not happy. And I was already going to see the people that we were going to see. And it was a rough day.
Truly was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not something you don't go do that for fun. I mean, I didn't anyway.
Oh. And this, pandering to people, this, we're going to say whatever it takes in the moment in order to get people to get fired up and energized. And I'm all for getting people fired up and energized. That's great. That's fantastic. It makes things work. You're an activist, right? You know that. However, there's, as in all things, a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. Mm-hmm. And this is the absolute worst way. But what gets me every time, and when you listen to these things that these people are going to be saying, What got me for the past, 50 almost years is that people will just pick it up. Like just now they'll hear it and they'll be like, yes, this is the way it's always been. There is no critical thinking on it. There's no depth to their belief system. It's just, I have this piece of information and I'm going to run with it as if it were like the gospel truth, and not question, not try to seek validity. It's just it they said it. It's true. Mm-hmm. And are we there? Is that who we are? Is that what humans are? Is just reactive goldfish memory creatures? I don't
get it.
So we do have other news. There was a bill signed into law by Washington State Governor Jay Inslee, and it will require schools in the state to teach LGBTQ+ history.
Woo! Woo! I'm very passionate about this subject. So, my background's in education. So, it's basically just saying that in the text of the bill says legislation recognizes that Washington state law prohibits discrimination in public schools for certain protected classes. Legislature also acknowledges that school districts are required to adopt policies related to selection of removal of instructional materials. Under state rule, the instructional material policy of each school district must establish and use appropriate screening criteria to identify and eliminate bias pertaining to protected classes. So basically it's saying, it's going to go into the curriculum, look at who's the archival silence, who's not being talked about, and say if it's a protected class, okay, let's try and fold this into the curriculum so it's covered. Which is really important because, talking back about, being goldfish where we don't remember stuff. Like, education is how we can remember the past and remember, you know, things that happened in the past and how to not make the same mistakes, but also identify what worked, what didn't work.
Okay.
And
I don't know if we could talk about woke issues on the air. That sounds awfully woke. Okay.
I don't know if it's woke or if it's just common sense.
We need to shut that talk down. Was it eradicate? Eradicate?
Yeah, that was the word, I believe. Back to this. You know, wait, hold on. The title was Mandating LGBTQ plus History Be Taught in Schools, right? Mm-hmm. That sounds very specific. That sounds very like I'm imposing the gayness on you. And imposed gayness for all. But that's not what it is, because it specifically talks about historically marginalized and underrepresented groups. The legislature recognizes that inclusive curricula have been shown to improve the mental health, academic performance, attendance rates, mm-hmm. and graduate rates of historically marginalized and underrepresented communities. What? That's like a lot more than just the gays.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's like over half of America mm-hmm. are marginalized groups. And then it goes on for several pages, which I won't do to you. But you can look it up. The whole thing is online. And once you read it, it that special class sort of thing falls away, because really it is about including everyone. And they just happen to be including queer people in with the everyone.
And this is what I never understood, is socialized class is supposed to teach you, like, one of the reasons why we teach it's not just history as education for the reasons I listed, but it teaches critical thinking mm-hmm. because it makes you look at multiple things and learn how to defend a point and an argument. It makes you think about the why of something happening, and it makes you think critically and synthesize stuff. That's like the big theories behind teaching social studies. Hmm. And you can't really do that if your entire curriculum is propaganda. Hmm. You need multiple sources, multiple viewpoints to be able to synthesize this material. So it's actually just following the theory behind teaching social studies. It's not this radical teaching people about sex, teaching people about gay sex. It's literally following the educational theory. So I just wanted to also put that out there. So, yeah.
That sounds like a bunch of liberal nonsense to me. I really can't. I mean, I
can't abide.
No. Can't abide to that one. I guess it's just always been that way where, obviously, with working in the government, obviously, it's always been a flaw of the government and our system in general not to address what we have done in the past mm-hmm. Because of the overlying schemes that we have done, the overarching evidence that would be piled on to us about the things that we have done to our own people. Mm-hmm. And that would really upset a lot of people. That's why they kind of hide those things away. But I think it's now we're living in an age and technology where a lot of information is relatively made available to us. And it's actually funny because I was just watching a documentary yesterday of the Boston Marathon mm-hmm. Bombers, and it took them 101 hours to find the person, all because of photos, all because of digital media being able to pull background. So if they can easily do that for finding people who are deadly, why can't we do that for our history? We have mm-hmm. pictures, we have evidence. Those are our history and our roots.
Yeah.
Why do we not celebrate those things? Because we know, the government knows, that disenfranchised people, if we keep them quiet, keep them happy, they will not say anything. But we are no longer happy anymore as people.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's the beginning of maintaining oppression mm-hmm. and keeping people in their place, right? Mm-hmm. Is to keep them from understanding their place and where that place is in a very structured hierarchy. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're dumb to it, you'll not rise up, because, hey, this is where we've been. This is where we belong. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, women's health care and the whole issue that is now thankfully blowing up. I mean, it really disheartened me last year. Well, was it last year or 600 years ago, or was it yesterday?
All of time.
Right? When when they overturned Roe. Mm-hmm. Mm. And there was this lurch toward we had the trigger laws, but we had states where trigger laws weren't fully enacted yet. Mm-hmm. And there was this lurch toward making sure that your state was the most oppressive. And even oppressive states had to be even more oppressive. And that swiftness of action contrasts so hard with how, when we're trying to fight for rights, when we're trying to fight for greater equality and equity, it's a snail. Oh, you can't do everything all at the same time. Mm-hmm. You can't expect change like that. It's just too entrenched.
But here's the thing. We have seen change radically fast on a radically large scale. Look at the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act. That was a radical piece of legislation that caused an extensive change in the infrastructure, and both the social and physical infrastructure of our nation, that we now take for granted a lot because it's been a couple decades. But we've seen quote unquote good radical legislation that's come through that's succeeded. It's not impossible to do.
But if you bury it.
Yes. You know, we never teach about disability history, so.
Well, disability people are new. They've only been around for the last, like, like 5 years or something.
Oh, representative banks.
It's such a strange... Sorry, this is not the disability WFHB show, but
say it.
It's just so strange that we don't teach disability history, in my opinion, but also LGBTQ plus history, but just because almost everyone will be disabled at some point in their lives. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's very strange that we do not talk about it. Mm-hmm. And with so many queerness around us, it's very odd that we also don't teach about it, since it's literally,
well,
like, in every facet of, like, American culture at this
point. Queer people are in every facet of American culture. And
the founder of the American military was a gay man. So it's literally in every facet of the American government too.
Well, okay. Good and bad, I guess. Yes.
I mean, he's a character. We can do a whole show about him if we haven't already. But
The funny thing too is that, you know, it's like this concept is not new.
No.
Uh-huh. Right? Like, why are we still grappling with this in the way that we are, when this is something that for as long as there have been people, as long as there has been life of any kind, this is a normal part of nature.
Mm-hmm. Because we're creeping toward a more equitable society, and you have to shut that stuff down.
Yeah.
And that's the swiftness.
I would also argue is capitalism. because with capitalism, you have to have castes, and you have to have someone be at the bottom of the caste. So it's easy to other people who are a little bit different than maybe the majority. So I would argue that also plays a very large role, because we see in non-capitalist societies, they tend to be much more equitable.
So I don't.
That's just my opinion.
I don't see in non-capitalist societies, because I don't look outside of the United States.
Like, or some maybe look within to, you know, indigenous communities. But
who?
Indigenous. Native American.
I was born here. I'm a native. Sorry, I'm using all the tropes from my youth. Brian Noble, executive director of the Family Policy Institute of Washington, coded language, said that the group opposed the bill. Because we're going back to the bill. Mm-hmm. Because it would lead to the sexualization of children. You're going to hear this again. this was pulled out by the folks in the last segment, too. Someone educate these people about sex. Like, how it works. Like, please. You're not just talking about queer people is not making the kids queer.
Yes.
And when you hear these people that we're going to talk about in just a few seconds... You're going to hear this stuff brought up over and over again. So
what happened on Monday?
So we have a new section for the show.
Okay.
We had interviews in cars, and which I like doing, and I will need to do some more of. But now we have, you can't possibly be that dumb. And on this first installment, like inaugural installment.
Oh, watch me.
Yeah.
Yep. Just watch me.
You are not you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Depending on the day. Depending on the day. It's a Monday. I'm groggy. I might be a little dumb.
A little.
A little.
But not that dumb.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe not that far.
This is where the people we feature put that to the test. On today's inaugural episode, we have the Indiana U.S. Representative Jim Banks. And it's a two for Thursday, folks. So we're going to throw in Libs of TikTok superstar, Chaya Rychik, at no additional cost except for hope and a better, or in a better future and a belief in a merciful, loving God.
Wow.
So I'm sorry. Wow. You have to give those up now.
So what happened was, I don't know about when you found this out, but I found out on Sunday, Easter Sunday, Transvisibility Day Sunday, that Jim Banks and Chaya Rychik were going to be at the Indiana Memorial Union for a lunch with potential like voters. And this was not advertised very much. It was only place I saw it was Banks's Twitter, X, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. And they hadn't, so it was RSVP, but it was open to anybody.
Mm.
So that told me there was limited spots. But again, not advertised at all, very much. This is what I did because I could not attend. I know y'all did. So mm-hmm. I'm interested in hearing what happened and everything, but I could not go because I had work and I RSVP'd a lot.
Nice.
Using fake emails and fake names. Because I figured.
Is that why I was sitting in a sea of empty seats?
Yeah.
Probably.
I just thought no one liked me.
No, I spent my Sunday doing a lot of emailing to this poor sophomore because I know who the student was.
Oh.
I didn't realize I had a connection to this person until this morning, but I spent my day fake emailing this person, RSVPing to take up spots so, you know, people wouldn't attend. I was like, my whole family is coming. I'm bringing my kids with me.
Wow. This makes a lot more sense to why I got the treatment I did. But you both got there early. Can you tell me what the scene was like in this? And it was in the Oak Room in the Memorial Union. And so there's like a big open space in front, seating area and stuff. And then there's the room itself, which is tucked in a little corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But set the scene.
I'm not sure. Chris and I just met at that event. And actually we met after the event, right? This is when we all got together and started chatting and made friends and made plans. When I got there, there was a really large number of folks protesting in the area outside the room. Mm-hmm. And as I was going up to the room even going back a little bit further, when I was just in the vicinity of the union and heading toward the parking garage, there were so many police and police cars. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, I bet it is for this event. And, you know, I bet there's somewhere out in this town real crime.
Oh, yeah, there is.
So
it's Bloomington. It's an idyllic community.
Yeah, that's the first thing that I noticed that I, you know, was just off to me. But anyway,
the front you saw.
Yeah.
The back was worse.
Oh.
They had at least about 6 or 7 police cars sitting in the back of the IMU, just sitting back there. I'm like, guys, this is not that dangerous of a place.
Right. Right. I mean, unless there was something else going on that I don't know about, I think it was for that event from best I can
understanding it was because I checked all the social media because everyone was like, why are there so many cops at the IMU?
Sure.
And so I was doing some digging to see if there's anything else going on. And there really wasn't. Would say, let's have a larger police presence besides this event and then the protesters.
Yeah.
So. But I personally didn't come across any like, let's go protest type of posts. Mm-hmm. It was all through like someone texting me or someone DMing me about it or something. And then that's how I shared it too.
Sure.
So I don't know quite if they got it, if they were hired by banks to be
right.
there
now,
or,
yeah.
Or if they had a tip. I'm not 100% sure.
I mean, from what I saw, cause I'm a community, obviously a community leader and obviously an activist. So I only got the word because of the Twitter situation. Mm-hmm. So it was as soon as I found out that it was Twitter, that's when I had went. Mm-hmm. I think other people who were there protesting, they were there, obviously in full readiness to protest against the Congress member. But in the beginning, originally, when we first had stepped into the scene, they had first told some of the protesters who had already RSVP'd that they were not allowed to come into the room, mm-hmm. and told them that, well, we're no longer doing RSVPs. And then someone came with their RSVP, showed them the thing. He's like, okay, you're good to go in. So it was kind of a huge kabocle back and forth.
I think that was me. It wasn't you.
You. I remember it was a gentleman that came through.
Well, that I am not.
Thank you for letting us know.
And I think it was a student, I believe. He was like a student who was helping with everything and coordinating everything. Oh. So from my understanding, it got even worse because there was another gentleman that came to the front and was trying to intimidate some of the protesters, mm-hmm. and started getting in their faces. And it had to get to the point where the police officers had to come and step right in between them because they were literally going to like get into it.
So he was intimidating them, and they handcuffed him and dragged him away?
Nope. They didn't handcuff him. Wait. They told him to go back into the room.
What?
Mm-hmm. They told him to go back into the room, that he needs to calm down. And then that same individual was actually standing right behind me, standing right behind me. And to be honest, at first I felt like
during the event or mm-hmm. when you were.
No, even during the event, okay. He was standing right behind us. And at first I was like, I don't know if he's trying to intimidate me or anybody else. I mean, you're not really winning. I don't get intimidated by people, who stand behind me. I'd rather you sit in front of me so we can have the conversation head on. Mm-hmm. More people who come from behind and tackle from behind or stand behind me doesn't mean that you want to look forward in front and move forward with me. Mm-hmm. So at that point for me, it just showed how like the university was just allowing these rhetorics onto the platform. And he's, Jim Bankson, the Lib Talk lady, I don't even want to remember her name, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Her coming onto the scene and spewing hatred towards trans people, throwing hatred towards LGBTQ people, minorities, telling us students that DEI programs are worthless, they don't do anything. And as someone who works with DEI programs, mm-hmm. They are not worthless. They are teaching the history that other counterparts do not want to teach. We are exposing the thought processes of everyone instead of coming to what Daddy Trump likes to talk about all the time. And I've worked in the government. I want to go into working into politics. So for anyone to try to believe into one system and one system only, kind of is the downfall of America.
Mm-hmm. We've got some, well, actually, before I got there, there was people being escorted out by the police. Mm-hmm. And one person was handcuffed the width of this table in front of me. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, kind of was showing my phone with the thing. And I said, you know, I'm here for the event. And one officer who, I don't know if he was the one that did the handcuffing or not, because I was looking down my phone trying to get to the email. He said, well, they're at capacity. And I'm like, you just dragged two people out. So, I mean, there's at least two, and I'm not that big, okay? I mean, I'm big, but I'm mostly vertical, so I could probably fit. And I was like, all right. So I was going to sit against the wall, and another officer came up who was much more attractive than the first officer, and that's important. And he said, I just had a remark on it. And he said, oh, there's plenty of room. Mm. Go on in. And so I did. Mm. And I went in the back and there's so much room, right?
It's true.
There was a table that was pretty much full, with people in the back, which is where you were. Mm-hmm. And there was pizza on it. And so I understood that. And then there were two rows filled with people in very, basic states of dress and, very conservative, folk. And then there were like two in the middle that were half full each or a little bit less than half full, which is where you were sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And Nikki beckoned me over. And so I sat down and set up my, recording equipment, and they'd already kind of started, right? And what is that gentleman's name? I just found his ex. I've got it.
You're saying somewhere. Twitter, right? Just want to clarify. Social media account.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is now?
Was it the Easter egg couple?
No. Oh gosh, no. Those they were great. I didn't see them until later. His name is Bryce Green.
Oh yes.
Oh my gosh, that guy was on it. He's got quite a following. You should go check his stuff out on Twitter.
Shout out to Bryce.
Yeah. And thank you for being concise and just he was ready. He was ready. And he gave it to them. So here's some questioning. We're gonna start some audio here.
That's
the police. I'll pass that. Da-da-da. There you go.
So, do you have a question? Is there something planning?
I do.
Yeah, sure.
How do you define wokeness?
Wokeness is the destruction of normalcy and how do you define
it? I think it's also anti-Americanism. I'm sick and tired of our kids being taught that America isn't worth fighting and dying for. It's a great country. It's the greatest country in the history of the world.
I would say
that attacks on our American way of life is wokeism.
So in the name of
that's probably though. Like, you know, Al-Qaeda attacks American lives. Are they woke?
Well, maybe in some ways, but there are probably some similarities.
So this is seeping into everywhere. It's in our schools. Like just a couple weeks ago, the governor of Washington, he signed legislation mandating LGBT history be taught in K-12 schools. So now these kids in schools in Washington are being forced to learn about like drag queens and Dylan Mulvaney and stuff. And that's obviously not something that we would see here in Indiana, because
we imagine they would.
Yes, you do.
You're not going to see it being legislated into by the governor, for example, right?
Being forced to teach that, yeah.
So, actually, I think one of the requirements is a diversity
viewpoint,
which I suppose would include
I can't hear you under your mask.
Yeah.
All right, that's some trifling stuff right there.
And that was a central theme, you know, just the rage of people in the room that were wearing a mask. It's like, you know what? You can hear that person under their mask. And we all figured out how to hear people with a mask on for the couple of years that we were wearing them for COVID.
Yes.
And if you could understand that person on this recording, which is done, Jeremy Hogan put it up. So I'm not sure if he was...
I have it pulled up right now.
Yeah. I'm not sure if he was the originator of the video, but... he was taking photos too. And you can hear people clearly. It's just that, you know, tired. It's juvenile.
Oh, completely. It's like, that's exactly.
And not the artist juvenile.
Like, just so. yeah.
And so it goes on.
Mm-mm.
Sorry.
So wokeness is a destruction of common sense and normality. It's anti-American and... it needs to be destroyed. And it's all just in the name of leftism, right?
All in the name of leftism. I didn't. I mean, they just come up with new stuff.
Needs to be destroyed. The words they were using were aggressive, and scary.
Especially if you've ever studied, you know, the history of violent movements. And,
that's how it goes.
Yeah.
I was going to just say, has anyone ever, you know, has she ever did the whole lesson guide in school of, like, the Crucible and McCarthyism and, like, learn, you know?
Well, my.
Because I think she took the wrong things from that lesson.
Yeah, I think, I think she was, that was a learning opportunity for her. Here, there's another thing here.
So how do you define gender identity?
That was one of the things I was going to ask, because they went on about gender identity and all this stuff. And I was like, well, how do you define it? You know? And I got shushed down by some person in the front row. There'll be questions at the end. However, they weren't calling on people from anywhere in the back of the room. They were just calling on people, their own people. So you kind of had to speak up and speak out. Here's a little bit more.
And they, by the way, just real quick, they knew that us as students, like, we already knew going in that if we were to disrupt, as you probably saw, some of the faculty members, they were standing in the back. They would come up to us and say, this is your first warning. Like, you need to stop or we're going to have to put you out. So no matter what, even if we decided if we wanted to speak out, we were going to get kicked out of the room. So they left
us. Which faculty was this? Do you know by chance?
I think it was just the regular faculty members that were working at that site. I think they're for like the IDPI. The thing is the IU's Department of Free Speech. So they.
Ironic.
I'm not going to lie. I did feel bad for them at one point because they were trying to really play both sides, like trying to be like, hey, this is their event. They have the rules. But however, that's not fair too. Like, you can't tell people you can RSVP and they show you that they have an RSVP and you won't let them in. So they really did. And they really were trying to play both sides. But I feel like IDFS, I believe that's what their name is. I felt like they were really stuck in a really, really hard place.
And that really hard place was treating you all like 6-year-olds.
I don't know why.
Let's go here. Sorry. I need better software.
When you'll go into the workforce, right? You'll see it there with all the DEI stuff. It's basically so many companies. I personally exposed Glassman Clinic, Enfamil, Aldi, Clonopin, Intuit. There's so many companies that this DI is embedded into their like policies, and this is how they operate. And DI is basically just code for less white.
Boom.
Less white.
Interesting. She wants
more white. Yeah.
Huh.
White her.
And that's not something too far echoing. I mean, from the city council meeting that happened yesterday, I don't know if you stayed for the entire time, but in the beginning when public comments came on, obviously more people were pushing against DEI programs. And at the very end we'll say, "Hi, Hitler." So I think even the mayor even said something and came to the city council meeting and said, for anybody to sit up here on a platform and yell Nazi slurs is egregious. Mm-hmm. Like this, and it happened not once, twice. So we are leading our country into dangerous waters.
Yeah, that is some scary
but this stuff is not the hear. First this is not the first time though. This was, I remember when I was in high school and Charlottesville had happened. And having neo-Nazis come out and be very comfortable with spewing rhetoric. And it's very funny because I, for someone who's been an activist work, I've been labeled even as anti-Semitic because I want to support Palestinian people. So it's funny how when I'm bringing up systems like this and, or these instances like this, there is no type of congruency of like what truly what anti-Semitism is, for them for sometimes. I just wish that there was a platform where we can be able to call out all aspects, call out all the racism, all the bigotry, and be able to move forward with processes and be able to hold people accountable for what they say, not what, who they're, what they're fighting for, what the issue they're fighting for about in particular.
Now, pardon me, but that sounds woke.
Yeah, too woke. You know, you need to be on the left side of the bed.
You, sir, I'm afraid are woke.
And to the anti-Semitism point, they actually kindly defined anti-Semitism as, or where it comes from.
Can you talk about how the anti-Semitism movement is sort of intertwined with this radical ideology on the left of other, like the trans movement and what?
Maybe some of my room friends can answer how I think Kamal celebrated Trans Day of Visibility yesterday. Oof.
I doubt they did.
What?
I doubt they did.
So the anti-Semitism is part of the trans ideology, and that's why terrorists celebrated the Trans Day of Visibility, and that was pointed at, you know, people who are living under horrible conditions. It was just the most... They're grasping at so many straws. They have like this little cup and it's got a bunch of little straws sticking out, and they've each got little words on them, and they just grab a few and then they try to work it into, it's like a Mad Lib. And they just keep saying
so,
over and over
and
again.
It's so funny to me how for a group of conservatives who have no type of care in what they've always said, they never cared about the trans community, never care about the LGBTQ community, you surely invest a lot of your time into our community when we don't invest anything into you.
We're just living rent free in their heads.
Right. Like we live rent free in your brain, and you make policies that have to do something with us. Like you won't know if I'm gay by whatever, unless I tell you. That is none of your business. So for anyone to try to invalidate my experience or anybody else's experiences in this world, I kind of find you a little weird.
Right.
A little. Maybe. I don't know. I might be too woke, you know.
You might be too woke. You need to go sleep some.
Yeah.
Maybe take a nap.
I need to become Sleepy Joe.
Yeah, this is something that I'm thinking about, you know, so... Woke is anti-American, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But I remember the senator at some point saying how important critical thinking is to him, especially, you know, talking about education and, you know, we need to be teaching our kids how to critically think.
So you need differing opinions and viewpoints to be able to critically think.
And you have to give them the structures for doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not it's almost like they know that people are going to say, hey, this is wrong, when they're given differing viewpoints.
Right.
You had a question, Nikki, and I've got that here too.
You talk about we need to eradicate, right? Can you please talk about some specific strategies that can be employed for eradication of these things that are occurring?
Okay, we won't go into the rest of that because that was a rambling answer that did not, and you can go and see this online, folks. It's everywhere, but go to the Bloomingtonian.
Yes.
And they have it up on their site. The excellent question, and there was no answer to that whatsoever. It was just a, well, we don't really want to like we don't want to, like it, that's like really strong language, you know, like not like eradicate.
Well, and then it's, you know, so that was me on there. And then, so while our friend was rambling, I said, well, you know, for example, what do I do about, you know, for like, if I have gay neighbors? And this, and the congressman said, oh, well, we don't eradicate people.
Right.
And it's like, oh, but I think that's exactly what we're working toward yeah. here, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
if I may be so bold,
you can't eradicate the ideology without eradicating the people, because if the ideology is what creates the people, then, you know, you're eradicating the people. That's using the their goal. Logic. Yeah.
Nonsense.
And
sheer and utter nonsense.
I would also just add the definition of genocide includes things like eradication of ideology, eradication of cultural like things of a group. It's not just murdering people. Yeah. It's forced assimilation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what we're working towards, mister. Mm. Like, you know.
Oh, I think he knows good and well what he's working toward.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're not going to play a bunch of the rest of it because we got another 20 or so minutes that we could devote just to the language of it. Go ahead and see it. The language, the audio is pretty good. It's on YouTube. And
if anything, just go to the Bloomingtonian to see the photos he took, because Chaya Rechnick looks.
She looks like Miranda Sings.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know who that is. Are we moving on from that topic altogether?
No, because I
because I got something else I want to say.
Okay. You didn't get a chance to ask a question, Chris. You were in the back raising your hand along with me, and I stood up, and because they said one more question, and then they were going to pick another softball, and I was like, oh no. And then I said some things, and I didn't ask the questions I had prepared because I was like so wrapped up in it. But what questions would you have asked? What were you wanting to put forth?
Well, first off, I guess my first thing I wanted to address is nationalism is not an ideology kind of thing that he was stating. Clearly stating that being a nationalist is not extremism cannot be extremist. Those types of things is false. You can be this pro-America to the point where you can become extremist, aka Donald Trump, where obviously you have the good intentions of wanting to be nationalist. You love your state. You love your country. However, you get to the point where it encompasses you and your ideologies and who you and what your beliefs are. So I guess my question to him was like, what population are you representing? Who are you truly representing? Because you're not representing any American people. Because if you are representing the American people, you have to represent every single person. Mm-hmm. That includes Palestinian people and the people in Gaza. Understanding that what happens here in Bloomington, in Indiana, and all the other states around the nation happen in Gaza and many other different parts of the world that have famines, genocides going on that United States has been played a part of. It is time for us as citizens to be able to take back our place and understand that we put the people in locally, because we always forget as citizens that we have an obligation to vote locally and to vote for our federals. But locally, if we want the things done, we need to start working on the people locally first. Mm-hmm. So I guess, who was he representing in those comments? I want to know who he was truly representing.
Dang. Okay, yeah. No, that's a whole... We should get them both. If you want to come in, we'll try to get Jim in.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we got to go, but thank you both for coming and being part of this. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I really appreciate it.
And really, Chris, you should have stood up instead of me. I'm sorry.
Blooming Out is a production of FHB Community Radio and is produced by Melly Davis and Cade Young. Our engineer is Alyssa Gray, and for Blooming Out and WFHB, I'm Cal Demery.
I'm Melanie Davis. Be well, stay safe, speak truth, manifest equity, demand justice, make good trouble, love one another, take the power back, and good night from your blooming out family. Good night.